What's going on, Rebels? I'm Alex.
And I'm Steve.
And I'm Cisco.
And we are the Black Series Rebels, and you're listening to the BSR Show. This week, we're talking about the Book of Boba Fett finale, and hello there, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
As always, Rebels, before we jump into the show, please, wherever you're listening to us, please make sure that you're subscribing and leaving us a review if you can. It really does help us out, and we thank you so much.
Guys, pin drop. We did it. We sold out. We did it, and it's all because of you guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because of you guys, we get to make fun stuff, and we got fun stuff coming, and we knew it had been quite a while since we did a pin drop. And you didn't disappoint us. So, guys, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Came through clutch. I was thinking maybe I was going to have an easy pin shipping section in year two of COVID. Not true. Going to be shipping for about 3-4 hours. Going to be great. We really appreciate you guys supporting us. This week, we are joined by our favorite musician that isn't Max Rebo. It's Nick from Bayside. Yay!
Hey.
How's it going, buddy?
Going great. I'm exhausted. Currently in the studio. Plus,
you heard,
I gotta be up.
Is that
for,
a you hear here first?
There's no announcement, but we've just been living our normal lives on social media. So if a picture of us in the studio is in our Instagram story, a picture of us is on the internet, you know?
Well, sick.
So those are long days. Plus, I stayed up to watch Boba at midnight. I had to be in the studio at 9. I'm not complaining. People out there, Steve, you have kids. I know. You're not. I'm not going to complain about these things, but I'm a little tired.
You're allowed to be tired. It's all good.
Nope. Trust me. As the guy here without kids like you, Nick, can confirm, yeah, we're not allowed to be tired.
Not true. We don't judge you guys. I'm
totally fucking. They never give me shit.
I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to tell you right now. We have no, Cisco and I have no right to be tired. It's our wives that have every right to be tired. Yeah.
Although I will say, both of the girls came in and woke me up at 6 o'clock in the morning yesterday. That is not common. Well, actually, no. So my oldest daughter woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning with a bloody nose out of nowhere. And so then I was like scrambling to figure that out. And then at 6:30, when she had finally gotten ready to like maybe knock out so I could get like half an hour more sleep before we had to wake up, the little one comes traipsing into the room at 6:30, like, what's up, everybody? And the way she comes in, she opens the door and she just goes, boom, and the door slams into the closet. And she's just like, good morning, everybody. It's time to wake up.
She just rides in on her little Rancor.
Dude, yes. It's almost like that. Yes. I do call her Tonezilla because she is a little, she makes her presence known.
What about you, Steve-O? How you doing this week?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Much better than I was last week. Oof, I re-listened to that episode.
I'm not going to lie. I wish that the fucking listeners could have watched the video of last week. You were a silent killer shooting laser beams through the screen.
It was like just an amalgamation of all the worst things that could probably happen on Steve's end.
All good. You guys knew what to do, and you guys carried all like 330 pounds of me across the digital airwaves and to a safe and sound landing. So thank you.
Guys, I feel like we've been kind of, also it feels weird because the show kind of feels like a Star Wars show right now because so much Star Wars stuff is going on and we're talking a lot about it, which is exactly why we wanted to bring Nick here to talk about all things Star Wars this week, because realistically, at this point, Nick's the OG Star Wars podcaster with Thank the Maker. We've got some stuff to get into before we get into the Book of Boba Fett, and I think I know that Nick is very excited about this kind of first and only topic before Boba Fett, but we got a Kenobi poster today. They released it hours after the release of the Book of Boba Fett finale. Nick, what did you think of the poster, buddy?
It's cool. I immediately you know how these things go on the internet and everyone covering things with their blogs and their Instagram profiles and stuff like that and their YouTube. I'm like, can't wait for a 2-hour breakdown on what this poster means. That was my first thought.
We're on some kind of desert planet.
Yeah.
good news, guys. Good news. We only have about an hour and 59 minutes and 30 seconds left to talk about this poster.
But I mean the release date, it was kind of not the date, but I guess the time frame was leaked a couple of days ago and I came across that, so I was like, wow, May is interesting. I mean, I'm glad it's sooner than later. May will be here before we know it, but I just thought that I know it's been done filming and I was just shocked that it's coming out, and especially the day before Celebration.
So you guys want to break down what we kind of see or don't see in the ripples of the sand?
I don't know that there's anything there. Cisco, what'd you think of the poster, buddy?
I really liked it. And, you know, I'll say this. I actually have really been loving all of the posters that we've been getting from Lucasfilm recently. Like, all of the Boba Fett ones have been really cool. And so, yeah, this is just another one that it's very simple. And I like that about the simple ones, you know, just like us, a lone figure with like, you know, like kind of showing silhouette. And then I saw somebody zoomed in on the lightsaber, like, what's this lightsaber, dude? Which one is this? And I was like, don't ask me. I'm not the expert.
I mean, it's only I would assume it's one of two. It's either Anakin's or it's his from, I guess.
But I guess they're saying that it doesn't look like either one of those.
Oh,
it's a fucking silhouette.
But I'm saying they just like you get to see it this huge, you know, like as big as possible. They zoomed in on it. And I don't know. Don't ask me. I just saw that on Twitter today and I was like, oh, already we're starting with the dissection of the poster and that minutia. Overall, I think it looks really cool. That's something that would look really cool on my wall, I think.
Yeah, I definitely dug it. What about you, Steve?
Yeah, I had no idea. Like I said, I was like crazy busy doing work shit, and all of a sudden I saw like I had all these text messages, and I popped open, and I think Alex, you sent it, and I was like, oh, cool, and I had to put my phone away, and I'm literally for the first time really now blowing it up, and now I'm going, oh, what lightsaber is it? How come I only see one sun, but there's kind of a second sun. No, it looks fucking, it's beautiful. This is definitely one of those posters you'll see hanging up in the offices at Lucasfilm, and you know, it's it's cool.
I'm loading it up right now because I want to
load it up.
I'm loading it. Hold on.
Zoom in on that.
Let me load in on that.
I really hope that like daytime Star Wars in Kenobi is as beautiful as this picture.
Well, that brings us to an interesting point. You know, obviously, we're going to be talking a lot about the Book of Boba Fett, which means we've spent a lot of time on Tatooine. Nick, how are you feeling about going right back to potentially an all Tatooine series again?
Yeah.
How are we feeling about that?
Well, it doesn't bother me. And someone was mentioning this to me today as like just a dig about basically, you know, being on Tatooine for Boba, going back for Obi-Wan. And I just think behind the scenes with things. And I'm like, Lucasfilm is going to constantly toe the line of what all like every age group wants kind of, and what is what 45-year-old people want and what 15-year-old people want. And it's just, I don't know if they have to have successful series. So I don't know that introducing a new planet is like as good of a base for a series right now during like they're building this entire like Disney Plus universe of revolving around Mandalorian. I'm sure Obi-Wan Kenobi, it's going to have something somewhere to do with Mandalorian at some point. Grogu, something. That's my guess. But I don't know.
Fuck. I mean, that would be fucking wild if this was him now going to get Grogu.
I mean, you never know. I really did think that it was possible for like a mid or end credit scene last night for Obi-Wan to have something to do with saving Grogu. which would lead to then the next series coming out in May. We didn't get that, but I mean, whatever. But I just think it's like, we're going to run out of time. We're going to run out of stories to tell that you could like have a Western feel for, or that have to be on Tatooine. We're going to run out of these things. But right now it's, we're, I think we're still, what are we, 3 years into Disney Plus? Like we're still like really at the like infancy of this. And I think that they're really just trying to have like a very strong base of what Star Wars television, and since that's what we're talking about, it, they're trying to really solidify what they're doing here, and say they have 10 successful series in 5 years, maybe then they could take a chance on something.
Totally. I see you nodding your head over there, Cisco. What's this jogging for you?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with everything that Nick is saying. I do have a quick question, because I don't know enough about the sort of like deep dives into the universe of Star Wars, but is Tatooine like, is it the whole planet is a desert planet?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because I was gonna say, like, I would be interested in seeing them explore some different areas of the planet, right? Like, you know, I know that they've done that a little bit of that in Book of Boba Fett, but like, there was a small little like throwaway moment in this in the finale where one of the mods says something like about being a city person. And I was like, well, where's the city? Like, I want to see the city on Tatooine that this person is from. Or maybe it's from a different planet. I don't know. But
well, they were referring to the main drag where they were. That's technically the
right?
city.
That area show, where well, like when Steven Root was from, right?
Isn't it pretty much when they show they did it like twice in this past episode where it kind of shows a wide shot of the whole.
Like Mos Espa. It's Mos Espa.
Yeah. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah.
It's like the city is in the canyon, and I think everything else is outside of the canyon.
Maybe I had a weird correlation.
Well, you say city, you think
because of how modern they look. You know,
everything
that they have looks so different from everything around them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it'd be curious to see if like that was purposeful because they are from a different area that makes sense. I don't know, but either
they have
way,
British accents too, which is very Coruscant. You know, like people
right.
The actual
that's definitely
that's
like the nobler sounding mm-hmm. voices when you get into the Star Wars universe are usually British accents, and that's kind of how you know, oh, this might be someone who's particularly special
mm-hmm.
when you hear the British accent, or particularly imperial. That's another big thing. You know, Cisco, you when you brought up the city in different parts of Tatooine, just kind of looking at this poster of Kenobi, I think what I am really digging about it is a lot of the contrast and the colors. Like getting this sort of golden hour on Tatooine is really interesting to me. Normally Tatooine is pretty much like fucking blasted with sun.
Like high noon.
It's fucking high noon all the time, or it's dark. The only other time you really get to see those beautiful sunsets is in the iconic twin sun scene where Luke overlooks it. And I'm wondering if they're kind of trying to get some of that magical quality kind of back into Tatooine with this series. And they also keep mentioning in Boba Fett that Tatooine was once covered in water, which I think is super interesting. And it would be cool if at some point we got to see what that potentially was. I think that would add a lot of character to the planet itself too, to sort of see where it came from and where it is now. I think is some pretty cool symbolic kind of storytelling. What about you, Steve, as you look at this poster for the first time, how are we feeling?
I'm the guy that's like, yeah, I'm in, let's go. Like, it's as simple as that. Like, I don't know. I want to wax poetic about it, but I can't. I look at it. I go, it's pretty. I like Ewan McGregor. I see a lightsaber. Like, I don't know. The whole, like, people have been bitching about sand again since fucking Force Awakens. Like, I don't know what to tell people. I don't mind it. I don't know.
A lot of sand in Star Wars.
I really don't care. I didn't mind it. Like, I don't care. Like, I because I'm like,
shush. Yeah,
here we go.
Hit it. You got to hit yourself.
Why? I'm not talking shit about people.
Mad about the sand. Mad about the sand.
No. You know what you get? You know what you get?
You dick.
Oh, man. All right. Well, let me ask you something then, Steve. Let me hit you with something else besides the poster. What are the chances you think a Kenobi Super Bowl trailer could happen. Just judging by the convenience of this poster drop right now.
Yeah, I think that makes absolutely 100% sense. However, there's been a lot of times things have made sense and we've been like, absolutely, and it doesn't happen. And then everybody on Monday is like, God damn it. So like, you know, yeah, I think that totally makes sense. But I still am, like we did back in the day on the video show when we were fully Star Wars, is Lucasfilm's going to do what Lucasfilm's going to do. And they ain't got to do what everybody else does. Although I think they do.
The trailer for Book of Boba Fett came out at a weird time too. It came out on like a Monday or Tuesday randomly, when like, wasn't that weekend D24 or whatever that thing was? Right?
It like just,
they could
have just
waited
out.
Four more days. Yeah, they could have waited four more days. I don't know if it was exactly that convention thing or that announcement, whatever it was, but there was something a couple of days later that they could have clearly made a bigger deal out of it, and it just kind of came out one morning a couple of days before that.
But there's also the whole thing of like wanting to own the internet for a day and not get lost in the mix of sharing with everybody else. So I don't know. I mean, I think it makes sense to do it. I would be stoked to see it. It could just be a teaser for this Monday. You know, see the
channel. Good Morning America.
What channel is the Super Bowl on Fox this year?
I think it's ABC.
I mean, okay. Like, get a nice big discount on your advertising space when you
No. It's NBC. It's NBC because Ice-T is the voice, is the official voice of the Super Bowl.
Oh.
Tight. What about you, Cisco? Do you think there's a chance of a Super Bowl trailer, or do you think it's wishful thinking? We're way too far out. It said May. They're going to wait a little bit before we get a teaser.
I do think there's a chance, and I don't think May is that far out. I mean, it's 2 months from now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's
or
like
3 months,
two
I guess.
Yeah, like three. Because it's also May 25th. So yeah, it's definitely, we got a pretty healthy chunk of time.
So, you know, I think that 3 months seems like kind of like a good window to start really getting the excitement going for it, you know, and especially now that you want to kind of like ride the wave, right? Like, you know, the series that everybody's been watching just ended. So don't let too much time lapse between at least giving, maybe if it's not a trailer, like a teaser trailer, which I still think is like the funniest thing. Like, I'm always like, get fucking teaser trailers. Like, why not just give us a trailer? Like, but, just, I think something with some moving pictures and some sound.
Let me pitch the floor. Maybe if we're not lucky enough to get a Kenobi trailer, what about a world where there's a Disney Plus trailer, and at the end you see like Obi-Wan Kenobi, like, this is bad pitch, but like, you know what I mean? Like, they go through all the shit. You get the Marvel, you get Pixar, you get Disney. And then at the very end, he like looks up and goes, hello there. And it, and it says Disney Plus. Totally. You know what I mean? It's like a Disney Plus montage of a thing.
That's actually an interesting thought, because Moon Knight's the next big show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they already dropped the trailer.
Yeah. So maybe there is this sort of like, oh, we don't want to muddy the waters too much, you know, like Disney Plus is like, let's stay kind of focused on one thing at a time and getting to, you know, because we don't even have Moon Knight yet. Maybe once Moon Knight starts, then they can start leaking some more stuff about Obi-Wan. I guess in a sense that kind of would make sense, but even still, I think that there's at least somewhat of a chance that we could get some kind of trailer type thing for Obi-Wan at the Super Bowl.
And I'm going, if we do get a trailer that's a trailer or a teaser thing, it's going to be a lot of montage clips of the previous movies, and then the whole like Revenge of the Sith sort of, your whatever the line is, you're killing, that's Padme, but whatever the fight is between them, and then cut to 10 years later and he's like walking, basically a live action version of that poster, and then it's just like Kenobi just coming May, whatever.
I could see them doing a thing where they like, honestly, they might even just need to show Alec Guinness and images of the prequels, and then announce like, see him as older coming in and having it say Kenobi. I think something like that could be it. I kind of hope that they keep this one pretty close to the vest, if I'm being honest. For something about this one feels like I kind of don't want to see it too much of it. Like, even if they do a trailer, I kind of don't want to hear him talk. I don't really want to see him. I want everything to kind of be like this poster, kind of in the distance. It's a mystery, and whenever it happens, we get to kind of jump into this world. Because I don't know, this is technically, if I'm not mistaken, the longest thing they've had in development since Disney purchased Lucasfilm, right? This is the first thing they put into development was a Kenobi series.
Well, no, it was a movie.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean. Yeah. They put a Kenobi IP into production, and it has gone through many, many, many iterations and then ended up the series.
Look, I think we're in good hands with Deborah Cho. I think.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
I think we're in really good hands, and with Ewan and the whole deal. Like, I don't know. I'm not concerned about it, but I'm also not going to put it on this pedestal. I think it's just going to be maybe I'm putting it as I think I have a feeling it'll elevate. It'll elevate from what I think we're about to talk about.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Oh, I have a quick question. Did they say that Deborah Chow is like show running the show, or is she directing each episode?
I think both.
Yeah, oh, that's great.
Directing all the episodes and show running it.
I love that. You know,
me too.
I've said this a bunch of different times, but I'm a big fan of having like a singular vision kind of running things. And it doesn't always make sense. I know that in episodic TV, for sure, it just doesn't work that way. So, you know, I understand the logistics of it, but when it can and does happen, I tend to really end up enjoying those situations more, I think.
In that mini series space, it's very successful.
Yeah.
It's really good for a limited series. And I think that I just hope that this show has a lot of scale and scope to it, because when I think of Obi-Wan Kenobi, that's kind of what I think of. I think, you know, right after Luke for me, Obi is probably the second favorite character for me. So I just hope that it kind of there. I really want it to live up to the name that's on that poster. I think it could be really cool, and I'm really excited for it. One last question before we get into talking about the finale. It was announced May 25th. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Nick, you mentioned this before the podcast. Mm-hmm. That is one day before a celebration starts.
Yep.
I'm curious. That has to be intentional, but anyone care to take a guess why? Everybody's like,
but it's also the birthday of when it came, the first Star Wars
came 100%.
Out. Yeah.
100%. But I think people would probably forgive it if you did it May 27th, the first day of whatever celebration.
Or
May 4th. Yeah. That might be too early, I'm sure, just for production reasons.
I'm just thinking too, again, behind the scenes of what they're going to do at Celebration to announce or show people for the first time, or just have panels. And like, sure, there's stuff, but this seems like, again, just oddly close.
It's also a Wednesday.
Yeah.
You think there's any world where if you get into that Kenobi panel, you're watching multiple episodes for the first time, only if you're in that panel? Or do you think they wouldn't want to pooch the social media storm that would happen every week?
I think they probably don't want to like risk anything.
Cell phone
like
footage.
Or even just having people tweet about it, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you can enforce a moratorium on journalists, but if you have people sitting in a hall watching it, you can't stop them from tweeting about it once they see something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, I've been pretty impressed. I'm not somebody who searches for spoilers, and I don't really follow anyone on any social media that would just blatantly post spoilers, or leaks, I should say. I've been pretty impressed with Lucasfilm, you know, going back to like mid, well, obviously Grogu was a huge secret. And then like halfway through season two of Mandalorian was just like, I can't believe these people are actually in the show. And they've been pretty good, obviously, with Book of Boba Fett, what chapter 5 and 6 were, which is just interesting to me that they would announce that Hayden Christensen is in the Kenobi series as Darth Vader. It's just, that seems like such a, you want to blow up the internet again? Keep that a secret.
Was it just official? Was it officially announced he's in, did I say
yeah, oh, StarWars.com.
Yeah, he's in Ahsoka also. So that's another announcement.
Yeah, that's what was announced this week, I feel like.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even hear that.
It was pretty recent. I don't know about this week, but it was pretty recent. They announced he's in Ahsoka also. So, I mean, clearly he's Vader in one, and he's gonna either be flashback Anakin or Force Ghost Anakin in the Ahsoka series. So those are your two options. So either way, all three of those things are amazing.
That's cool.
You know, over the years, I've gotten so into the Clone Wars, and it's helped me, like, it's changed and shaped how I, like, view everything to do with Anakin, and the fact that I get to see him in the next couple of years as it's just back in the fold is really,
I think it's really cool.
So great.
I think it's really cool that Hayden's getting an opportunity to sort of, kind of like what, and again, I don't know, I don't want to do spoilers or whatnot in regards to a certain superhero movie that came out recently that may have had former versions of the character, and maybe another character that maybe that an actor who was in that role that didn't get quite his due all of a sudden seems to be getting his due in this new movie. I feel like it's kind of cool that Hayden, for a portion of a Star Wars fandom, may not be fans of of his stuff that he did in the prequels, and I think it's really cool that he's getting an opportunity to
And to me, that's just fully like, that's George Lucas directing and George Lucas writing, you know, like it, somehow you have like Natalie Portman putting in poor performances. Also, the silver lining is Ewan McGregor, apparently great actor. he took the same amount of direction and writing and was a great Kenobi. But I think with different direction, hopefully better writing, I mean, just a realistic volume behind them instead of green screen. Like, I think all of this stuff is going to make whatever didn't go right in the prequels for these same actors will be fixed. I'm hoping anyway. And yeah, I think that, like, if you're saying kind of is him just coming into back into Star Wars with a chip on his shoulder. Yeah. He's going to act his balls off. It's going to be great.
Yeah. I think we're in for some really, really exciting storytelling. Do you guys want to, Steve Sisko, I got anything else to say to about good old Obi before we jump into Bobby?
Do it.
Fuck it. Hey, Steve, let's take it to a conversation about the Book of Boba Fett. I like that music cue. What was that?
Yeah, I was going to say, why not do the Book of Boba Fett.
Hey, Boba Fett. Hey, I like, you know what really should, before we spoil everything in this episode, the end credit sequence should have been that song just playing, and then they cut in, and it's Boba Fett with Max Rebo and the Sky Studios, all of Jabba's band. And he's like, one more time from the top. The song he wrote is literally just his fucking name over and over again.
Dude, you know that one, the one episode of The Simpsons, R2-D2's playing bass? Yeah. He's in there with the bass. Yes.
Boba Fett. He's like, don't worry, guys. These are just placeholders. I'm going to do other stuff. Trust me, I'm just working out the melody. All right. Book of Boba Fett, Chapter 7, In the Name of Honor. The finale's here. We're back with our star character. We'll go around the horn real quickly before we get into bigger details. Nick, what did you think about Chapter 7 of the Book of Boba Fett?
It definitely was the best episode of the best episode involving Boba Fett to me. You know, like I think that a close second at this point would be the whole, I guess it was episode 2, the whole Tusken tribe thing. I really enjoyed that one too. This one, it was just fun. And I'm not watching Star Wars to have fun, but the story is what brings me in, and the bringing the larger scope of the galaxy and the story and how things connect is what really like moves me. So at the end of the day, like episode 1 through 4 and 7 were just fun and cool imagery. I don't see how the scope of things changed. It sussed out a current version of Boba Fett for me. So I enjoyed it. It's cool. But then in chapter 5 and 6, that had nothing to do with Boba Fett. I got what I wanted. I got the bigger, the lore, the evolving of the galaxy and other stories that are also big and slightly intertwined with, I guess you would say, the Skywalker saga. So I had fun with it. Really cool imagery, just straight up like Star Wars porn with, you know, rancors and just great stuff as far as like the visuals. And there's going to be people who really just love Star Wars for that stuff, and they're probably super happy right now. I'm cool with it. It's great. 5 and 6 were more my jam, but I had a good time.
Nice. What about you, Cisco? How'd you feel?
Yeah, I mean, it had its fun moments for me for sure. I think overall, I definitely agree with Nick that 5 and 6 were much more enjoyable for me in this series. But yeah, it had some very cool moments. And I guess, you know, I'm excited for season 3 of Mando now.
You should be. What about you, Steve? How'd you feel?
I've been saying since the first episode, I've been saying, you know, this reminds me of a Saturday morning cartoon. And this particular episode had me feeling the same way I felt every Saturday morning when I watched this.
Yo, Joe! We'll fight for freedom wherever there's trouble. G.I. Joe is there. G.I. Joe!
Did you download the G.I. Joe theme that just for you?
Slap.
No, it's on my phone Bluetooth to the Roadcaster.
Oh, yeah, right, that's awesome.
I think I was on your show before asking you if you've heard that theme song recently. Am I crazy? That song slaps. That song is so awesome.
Yo, theme songs from the 80s hold up strong. He's always there,
fighting for freedom over land. Now, hold on, though. A little pitch, though. What if the theme song just went, G.I. Joe G.I., G.I. Joe, and G.I. Joe, he's Joe, G.I. Joe.
Even better. Sorry. A million times better.
I can't. I'm going to make fun of that all night.
It's so great. It's so funny.
It's so funny. Like, I'm sorry, but it's amazing that they were just like, fuck it, man. Get in there and lay down some tracks. And someone was like, boom, ba, ba, boom, yeah. Ba, ba, ba.
I haven't heard this. What is it?
So if you don't...
How do I find it? Listen. I haven't heard it.
You got to listen.
It's just the end credits.
Oh, shit. We might get a live reaction to this. So, Steve, while you look up Disney Plus, launch the episode.
Wait,
and go
it's
to
in the episode?
It's in the credits. The end credit music.
It's the same thing, but there's lyrics.
There's
and those lyrics
now.
Are Boba Fett.
No.
Yes. I think he says book a Boba Fett.
Wait. I think, you're right.
Oh, does he say book two?
Yeah, I heard him. Yep.
Okay, there might be a book or two thrown in there. All I heard was Boba Fett in various
That was the
different...
first thing that I was like, my ears perked up. I was like, wait a second. He's saying Boba Fett. And then I was listening even closer, and then I'm almost positive he says book of Boba Fett.
Oh, you're playing it? Amazing.
How far into it?
Let it roll.
Right now.
Here. What the fuck?
Hold on, wait. Just wait. He's going to start jamming. Are you playing this off your phone?
Yeah. It's on YouTube.
There we go.
What? Fat.
Book of Boba Fett. Fat.
Woo!
Now imagine him playing that.
Telling you.
With Max Rebo and R2-D2 with the Simpsons R2-D2.
And fucking Kanye.
I do think that there should be a moment, if we get any more Boba Fett, where he's getting brought in like the Hutts on somebody's
shoulders. And they play that?
And Max Rebo's coming in playing.
Oh, that'd be sick.
I'm telling you, watch for it in the new Watch the Throne with Jay-Z and Kanye coming out. Like Watch the Throne 3 or some shit.
Okay, so.
But to finish my point, look, there was some fucking ridiculous shit in this episode, but like at the end of the day, like, I don't know. It was fun.
You know, it's funny. Like, it just being on this podcast, talking about it with you guys is making me like it even more because, like, it's not that serious. And mm-hmm. like, it's really funny because sometimes, I don't know about you guys, I find myself kind of like in this weird space between taking Star Wars really seriously and then like being like, it doesn't fucking matter. It's like a hockey puck, a guy in a hockey puck and his dog flying around. It really, it does, it should have this lightness to it. That's not saying that the episodes with Luke and Grogu and the Force and all of those themes and all of those really powerful kind of storytelling moments don't matter just as much. But as we're kind of talking about this, I'm like, this is insane what we watched last night. Like, we literally, like, we're living in a world where Boba Fett hopped on a fucking Rancor and went hard in the fucking paint while a bunch of Clone Wars characters were like, ah, fucking running. It was wild. And, look, and we saw that presented back to us as straight up like, yeah, this is your Boba Fett TV show.
Sometimes it's like poetry, it rhymes. And sometimes it's like poetry and it doesn't rhyme.
Sometimes it's like poetry, it goes just fucking wild. I think that, I mean, let's start from the top. So we kind of open up, we meet the syndicate, Cad Bane comes in.
Which, by the way, can someone give me some backstory on Cad Bane? Because I haven't watched the, like, everyone knows. I haven't watched the animated series.
The quick and dirty is he's one of the most, he's maybe the most feared bounty hunter, even above Boba Fett back in the day. He knew Boba when Boba was a kid. He's been in definitely the Clone Wars, kind of blanking on whether or not he's in Rebels. He was in an episode of Bad Batch. It's this thing that to me shouldn't work for me. Like, he's literally has a cowboy hat on. I'm like, why is you have a duster and a cowboy hat on in Star Wars?
I mean, we had somebody wearing a fucking newsboy hat last week.
Yeah,
so
yeah. So I don't know, because those things should really take me out of it, but he is a badass. He is a badass. He does badass things. He holds his own when it comes to fighting Jedi and all this stuff. Like, he, and his voice is very awesome. So
yeah,
they have history.
I'm a sucker. Sorry,
and,
go ahead.
And I mean, that's it. I mean, it's really nuts to me that they introduced him and then obviously seems like they killed him off, but the heaviness almost has to come from knowing who he is and their relationship in the past.
Well, and I think that's what I wanted to know is, what is their relationship?
Yeah. I mean, saw a thing that I think it got leaked recently, or maybe it was leaked a while ago, but it was like this unused scene
from the Clone Wars.
From the Clone Wars, where he how Boba got the dent in his helmet was from him getting shot by him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had a duel in like some unfinished Clone Wars animatic but their relationship really simply is that they were both bounty hunters, and I mean, Cad Bane was just older and kind of, I guess, was a little bit of like, there was some tutelage there. I mean, I don't know that there's too much in depth, like more than you need to know about Cad Bane, but he is a badass, and somehow him looking like Clint Eastwood doesn't bother me.
It's funny, last night when I was going, like, I couldn't stay up to watch it. And last night I was going to bed and I was gonna say, oh, you should try and try. And so I was laying there and I was thinking about the show, and I literally said to myself, and spoiler, if you're listening to this, we're gonna have spoilers. I went, it'd be pretty cool if they like introduce this fan favorite Clone Wars thing that everyone's been begging for forever and then just fucking kill them in the next episode. Yeah. And like, how kind of parallel that would be with our introduction to Boba in the original trilogy and then kill him in the next movie so abruptly. And then this morning, or when I finally got around to it today, I was like, holy fuck, they did it.
Yeah. I mean, he had more sussed out of a background
right
than Boba did at the time of Boba's original perceived death, but I mean, I don't know, it's cool. I'm shocked they did it, honestly, but to me it almost gives this sense that what if there is a season two of Book of Boba, it is not going to have anything to do with like crime syndicate stuff. It very clearly, I think at the end of this episode, Boba is like, I'm want this town to thrive, I'm not trying to be a crime lord anymore. Like that's what I took from it. So I don't know what season two could be. I think the broader spectrum of everything to do with Disney Plus Star Wars is literally giving you these characters because they're all going to interact for the next half a decade at least, I would say, in all of their series.
Is there a world where we get the Cad Bane?
I don't know.
Cobb Vanth?
As far as what?
Well, because clearly by the end credit scene, like, it's he's in the back of the tank, and it's like, I'm just going to assume that the way I read that was Boba's handing over the keys to the kingdom.
Yeah, could be. Yeah, I like that. We speculated a little bit when we were recording Thank the Maker today that, you know, the Rangers of the New Republic show that kind of got shelved for a minute, maybe it could get reworked, and Cobb Vanth is maybe the Ranger of a New Republic there type of thing.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah, we'll see. Like, I mean, Texas, I like Ranger him. It's another kind of thing. Yeah, because clearly Oliphant could do that, but that's another thing that should take me out, but doesn't. Like, Timothy Oliphant is way too handsome and just is another Western character, and I'm like, I don't know. It just works somehow. It's good.
I'm such a sucker for Westerns, man, and I love
I don't mind it
like that. So I'm like, you know, I love Doc Holliday's whole thing in, Tombstone. So getting to see some showdowns like that, I'm like, give me, I don't need a whole show of it. I don't need it to happen every episode, but just sprinkle a little bit in there every now and then, and I'll be a happy camper. Yeah.
It's just so weird to me, the things that don't work about Star Wars and then things that shouldn't work do. It's really hard to explain.
Sure.
Like, between Cad Bane and Timothy Oliphant basically being Western characters, I'm like, yeah, no, this is cool. And then I'll see some other droid that I'm like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. What is this?
So we get our kind of opening with Cad Bane. We rip through the intro, and now we kind of are getting, they get into it pretty quickly, right? Like, they are like, oh, we got the syndicate going on here. We got it. We're getting all positioned. We're getting ready to fight. We've got, all of a sudden, our X-Wing's flying in, but our digital Mark Hamill is not there. Luke Skywalker's not there. And little Grogu pops his head up and jumps in, joins the fight. How did we feel about kind of the culmination of the Mandalorian story within the Book of Boba Fett? Would we have preferred that just be kind of attached to the beginning of season 3? Or do we like that chunk kind of in the sort of as like our little Mandalorian intermission in the Book of Boba Fett? Cisco, we'll start with you.
I love the Mandalorian intermission in Book of Boba Fett. It's my favorite part of the whole show. But
to make the question more specific, do you like that we saw Grogu's choice already, or would you have rather sat on that for a year and then seen what it was?
I'm glad they just got it out of the way because it was
cool.
I mean, we talked about this last week, but seemed obvious what that choice was going to be.
Yeah, yeah.
So kind of dragging it out wouldn't really make sense to me. And in a sort of like side tangent, just kind of personal preference thing, I don't really want to see deepfake Mark Hamill as much anymore, you know, if we can avoid it. So having it kind of just get resolved quickly is preferable, in my opinion.
He fucking autopiloted him, dude. He had R2 Tesla.
Oh, dude, Tesla, you know, R2, man, he was hooking them up. Grogu was having a nap, he was sleeping. Yeah, exactly, autopilot, like in your Tesla, just like taking a nap, and R2 was getting them there. I was like, R2 was probably doing barrel rolls for him.
I was like, if you could do this the whole time, just have those motherfuckers go attack the Death Star.
Yeah.
Oh, you would sacrifice R2? How dare
I'm
you?
I'm just saying.
R2, listen, how was the Death Star destroyed? The mechanics weren't what destroyed the
Remember,
Death Star.
Remember, Luke, you've...
Yes, he had to use the force.
You took off your targeting. You switched off your targeting computer. I'm all right. Like, R2-D2 can't switch off the targeting computer. Nah, man, you got to have the force to defeat the Death Star.
R2 would have been space waste.
So we got a little bonus. We got a little more. I always want to say Betsy Sedaris, but it is Amy.
Amy Sedaris. She's the best. I really like her.
Again, something that should not work, but it's great.
Yeah. It's pretty wild. Like, and this is kind of the stuff I'm talking about as we jump into this conversation. I'm like, nah, man, I kind of love it. It's fucking wild.
Yo, I want to see, this is the only thing I want to see in any future whatever's going to happen with Mando 3 or Book of Boba Fett 3 or the next Book of Boba Fett is I want to see her character and the Domo dating. They got to have a relationship.
Oh, man.
Got to.
Do you guys see that great? I think, Nick, I think you actually shared it. It was the back of the Domo's head while driving. Yeah. And someone was like, she thick, though? Because it looks like a butt.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Amazing. I can't unsee it now. Every time I see the Domo, I'm like, oh, yeah, the back of Domo's head totally looks like a luscious booty. Yep. Steve-O, as we kind of got into the more healthy chunk of the show. So a lot of the story, they get betrayed. Now we're in kind of the battle climax with Mando and everybody. How did you feel about the action set pieces specifically?
I thought some were really well. Like I thought some were very classic Robert Rodriguez, very Desperado, very El Mariachi, even Once Upon a Time in Mexico. And then some shit was cheesy and some shit was like, ooh. I know everyone has shit on them for the last month. I still don't understand the color palette on the fucking mopeds. And I don't want to be the asshole that's just like, the fucking mopeds or the fucking Vespas. But God damn, they're so out of place at the same time.
Love them, man.
They're still moving super slow. Even when you got, Fennec and her speeder, and then it's like they're still like there's just something still off with the speed that those things go.
It's got to be something with the limitations of the volume.
Yeah, but they get the speeder bike thing fine.
When Fennec is riding around on that speeder bike, she zooms off like what it feels like it should feel like.
Yeah, it's like peace out, bitches.
And just to piggyback on what Steve is saying, like I don't the look of them. Don't bother me. Like the look of what the mods look like and their speeder bikes don't bother me as much as like the execution of what they're doing and the like character, the lack of character development in the characters, in my opinion. And so like, if they did that a little bit better, I think that the idea of what those characters could be, there's some promise there for me. And just speed up those damn Vespas, man. Give them a little juice.
But overall,
get Amy Sedaris to put a little something in there. She'll give them some nitrous.
But before, I just want to touch on something that was a scene that I really liked. But right before we get into the battle, and speaking of the Major Domo, I really liked the exchange between the Mando and Boba and sort of going, look, the way I look at it, we got two ways of doing this. And I really liked that exchange. I like the exchange of like, he's just like, you don't have to stay. You should leave. And he's like, no, it's the way. It's whatever. And he's like, you believe in that horse shit? And he's like, yeah, I do. And he's just like, good. And then I love the stuff with the Domo. And I love the whole back and forth that the Domo gets sent out there. And I was like, wow, Boba's got away with words with his pen. You know, I liked that sequence.
Yeah, he wrote that real quick.
Yeah, I was like, whoa,
he wrote that shit quick.
the pen is mightier than the sword. And then I don't know. It's weird. A lot of the shit's cheesy, but I really do like, even with the moped kids, like I like the building of, you know, with the Wookiee and, you know, the Major Duomo and with all these different things. Like I really like the building of sort of this ragtag team that has come together in this world is even though it's flawed and it's not perfect and it's wackadoodle and it's crazy town, there's something at the end that I left kind of just going, I kind of like this wackiness. Like I'm okay with this sugary box of tricks of Star Wars.
I want to say one thing really quickly. I think, just because we're talking about it, the Domo is probably my favorite new character that was introduced in this show.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah, I think he's super the character itself is like pretty simple, but his performance is so good. He's really funny. I mean, I'm like legit laughing. That's one of the every time he did something in that episode, I was laughing out loud. Like I really enjoyed all of the stuff with him when he's up there like choked up after he's reading what Boba wrote and he's like, oh, maybe we should do something, maybe you tell me what you guys want. And I'm like, oh yeah, something funny is about to happen. I really like him.
He's great. I don't, maybe you guys covered it already, but he's the he's Selena's husband on Veep. Like, he's a great, like, improvisational comedian.
His name is Dave Pasquazi.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen him perform improvisation live many time.
Yeah.
He, do you guys know the Sonic commercials?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know the guy with the red hair?
Yeah.
His name is TJ Jagodowski. He does a show with Dave Pasquazi called TJ and Dave, which is pretty much hailed as the best improv show you can see mm-hmm. in the world. And I guarantee you Favreau saw him back in Favreau's Chicago days and saw, because he is one of the best improvisers around. So it's really mm-hmm. cool. I kind of like the casting in these shows. I like that they kind of go for the funnier, kind of quirkier choice mm-hmm. and not quite like, okay, everybody has to be like A+, you know, Grand Moff Tarkin, mm-hmm. you know, experienced actor. Yeah. They kind of go for more of the kind of loose, fun characters. I mean,
do you feel like it's Favreau just being like texting people? Because there's a comedian thing, there's a wrestler MMA thing. Well,
I think in regards to Sedaris and the Major Domo guy, I think they were all at Second City around the same time in the late mm-hmm. 80s. The three of them, and so I think that's sort of where that comes from. He's I don't know, man. It's the same thing with Thundercat. Like, he's no stranger to comedians and music. Mm-hmm. And he just, I don't know. He's.
But also, I don't know, because Robert Rodriguez is technically the showrunner too.
Yeah, yeah.
So also there's some Robert Rodriguez playing in there. I think that the casting has just been overall really interesting. Before we move on from, we get into kind of Rancor stuff, I'm going to play a clip here. I saw somebody tweet this clip and I noticed it. While I was watching the episode, I have to call it out because it's one of the funniest fucking things I may have ever seen an actor just casually fucking do in anything. But watch this clip of one of the mods doing this 360. Yes. Like, what is that move?
That's Robert Rodriguez. That's
Desperado right there.
I love it. It's so extra.
I mean, I was like, well, that's just an homage to Desperado.
Yeah,
totally. You know what? I've never seen Desperado. So that then opens up a whole world there. But I thought this was so.
Or maybe actually, maybe El Mariachi.
I mean, it's the same world, but yeah.
Yeah. Because it reminds me so much of the last kind of like fight at the end of Desperado where the other two mariachis show up and they're all going buck wild with their briefcases.
Oh, yeah. When they do like the full on splits and the rocket launcher out of the guitar case.
It's like very theatrical. It's got, you know, he takes that it takes that kind of like John Woo inspiration that where it's like the gun battles feel very ballet.
But it's almost like they're doing the Paso Doble or something.
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I thought like just all of I think for me, I feel like I agree with pretty much everybody here, which is, I think we all kind of unanimously just kind of saying it was cool, man. Like, whatever. It was like, we got 25 minutes of what I think was all of us the most excited to see this series. I don't know about y'all, but for me, it was the Rancor. I was really waiting to see that Rancor scene. Once they introduced that Rancor, I was like, whatever happens with that is going to be fucking awesome. Do we feel like we got Rancor payoff? Start with you, Cisco.
1,000,000%.
Yeah.
Dude, watching him rampage around, that was my favorite moment of the episode. It was really cool to see what we were hoping for was Boba on top of him and just seeing him kind of like thrash those giant mechs and, you know, climb around like Godzilla or any of the King Kong or Godzilla in those monsters movies. But just seeing him fuck shit up, dude, see, was really cool.
That was awesome. What about you, Nick? How'd you feel about the Rancor rampage?
It was cool. I think with the brief introduction of him in whatever episode it was earlier in the season, you kind of had to remember that conversation with him and the Rancor Keeper. And know that Boba is going to have a good relationship while he's like with the Rancor while he's riding it so he can control it. But the second Boba wasn't on it, on the Rancor anymore, the Rancor just went loose. You know, like it went nuts. So there was that kind of see Rancors can be tamed and they can be useful. But then the second it was Boba wasn't there to have that kind of, I don't know, father, son, whatever you want to call it, relationship. It was just a wild animal loose, you know, and just not serving good or bad. It was just chaos at that point. So it was cool. I thought it looked great. I think I've had some issues, even going back to Robert Rodriguez's first episode directing The Mandalorian, where like direct sunlight looks really weird on film sometimes in Star Wars, and doing multiple series in Tatooine could be an issue here and there. And I felt like the huts early on in this season looked a little weird in the sunlight, you know, the CGI with the sunlight. So the Rancor looked great to me, though. They got that right. And yeah, I'm glad it's I mean, how about just Grogu and the Rancor? Like how like cuddling.
Sounds like a band name, yeah. Grogu and the Rancor. Right?
But yeah. Every time I see Grogu and he does something either cute that we've seen before or something new and cute, I'm like, when is it going to stop? Like not when is it going to stop, but when am I going to be tired of it? Cuz I'm not tired of it. It's so adorable every time. I'm just not. He did like a little force jump into Din's arms. At one point, and when he was on the rickshaw, I'm like, oh my god, it was so cute. But Rancor, cool with me, loved it.
Yeah, I think to be honest with you, I don't even really remember the end of the show. I just kind of know that the Rancor smashed a bunch of shit and then they won, and then they kind of cut in, and then like Fennec went off and did some cool shit, and then they were kind of walking right kind of threw Mos Espa at the end, and they were like, nice work, pal. Kind of gave each other the fist bump, and that was pretty much it, right? That was pretty much the end of the episode. Am I forgetting anything huge?
Story-wise? No, because the story didn't leave. Like, the story ended. Like, the last sort of scene was Boba hanging with his crew. The camera pans up and then ends on the Mandalorian and Grogu in space. Like, that's it. Mm-hmm. So
yes. Oh, that's right. It ended on the Mandalorian and Grogu in space.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie. Who else got nervous when Grogu was fucking hitting that dome with the metal? Does Grogu know he will die if he shatters that little dome? I was like, bro's hitting it too hard for me.
Well, I have a question real quick regarding the Rancor. I thought it was really cool, and I don't mean to take it back, but it was one thing that stood out in my mind where I went, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, at some point he's like, they don't want to destroy the whole city because he believes in the people, and so that's why he didn't go and get the Slave One or whatever it's called now, but instead he brought the Rancor, and the Rancor destroyed the fucking city.
I mean, you got to give a little bit of leeway there. Like, they're in the heat of battle. Boba's got this Rancor. We established it in the second, third episode. You got it. It's got to show. It's Chekhov's
Rosie. I'm going, Mando, you need to fly that jetpack out here. You need to get in the Slave One. I'm going to strap onto this Rancor and let's go to town.
I was going to say, I think that I could be mistaken, but I think when he said that he didn't want to go get his ship, it was prior to the mechs showing up. It was like just when they were getting overwhelmed with dudes.
Yeah.
And then when the mechs showed up, he was like, oh, maybe we're going to need something bigger. Because I don't think even Slave One would have been able to stop those mechs.
Yeah, you definitely can't blast them because they have that shield.
Okay, that's just my little nitpick that I just wanted to throw out there. Otherwise, I thought it was really cool. I thought it was another, you know, we started off this season and I was talking about Harryhausen, and we totally got back to the Harryhausen. We got back to King Kong. You know, the stop motion stuff. I think Phil Tippett may or may not have been involved in some of this stuff this season as well. Look, I think it's all good. It's all Star Wars. It's all great. I got to ask in regards to Grogu, you brought up the whole tapping on the thing, but when he was like, no, did anyone else think that we were going to then cut to showing like the planet that Luke was on or something? And he was trying to tell him like, we want to go there.
Like you give him back.
I'll tell you, my initial thought was like it was going to just be a cutscene to Grogu on Din's lap. Like he just wanted to be like in the cockpit with him. That's where okay. my mind went.
Because I was like, oh, he's got to go and learn how to use the Darksaber.
Yeah.
Well, that brings me to my final question because we're starting to wrap up. We're not in the prediction games, but what do we think's going down in The Mandalorian Season 3? Because we're kind of left on a Boba's still going to be doing his thing. I bet Boba Fett is in Mandalorian Season 3. Something's going to start building here. If you had to take a wild guess, like, what do you think, Nick? What do you think Season 3 is going to bring to the forefront?
I think Chapter 5 was really the first episode of Season 3. I think we're going to get into some Mandalore stuff, you know, with the armor, with Bo-Katan. I think this is going to be about, like, the reclamation of Mandalore and Din kind of being the guy. I mean, maybe Boba's the guy. I don't know. But whoever has that Darksaber, I think, is going to kind of just bring the Mandalorian people back and bring the planet back. I don't know how long that takes. I don't know if that's the entire story of Season 3 or it's the remainder of the series, however long it is. But I don't know how, like, Luke comes back or gets involved. I could see Ahsoka coming back and getting involved somehow. I'm not sure. But I think Chapter 5, what got me so excited about that was just how much more we're going to get involved with Mandalore and the Darksaber and just the history of Mandalore and who's going to, I guess, the reclamation of Mandalore is the
best
way to
put
it.
Who's going to rule it? Who's going to be the leader of Mandalore? Mm-hmm. What about you, Cisco? Oh, go ahead, Steve. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm going to make a prediction. We will not see a sand planet in the next season of The Mandalorian.
Unless you go see Boba Fett, basically.
Maybe, but I'm willing to bet that how many episodes is Mandalorian typically?
10, right?
I'm willing to bet we at least, if it's 8 episodes, I'm willing to get willing to bet we at least get 6 episodes that have nothing to do with sand.
I like it.
What about you, Cisco? Got a fun prediction?
I 100% agree with Nick. I think I think that we'll see some more cool Mandalorian lore stuff, which is exactly what I'm realizing I'm finding to be the most interesting thing, which I wouldn't have guessed going into this. Cause I don't know anything from any of the animated series. I don't know any of the background of any of the characters like Bo-Katan or even Boba or any of the Mandalorians or even the Darksaber. But you know what? I would like to see Moff Gideon come back.
I think that's a definite. Yeah. That's my theory is, and it's not really a theory. I'm just kind of basing off. If I'm looking at the pieces on the board that I feel like we have, I think that we are getting, I think Nick's dead on the money. We got to figure out how to use this Darksaber. So we've got a couple Jedis on the board that can help Din kind of figure out what the hell he's doing with this lightsaber. And that kind of doubles as potential time for Grogu to kind of keep growing into whatever Grogu is going to become. Bo-Katan, all of our Mandos that take our helmets off, all of our Mandos that don't take our helmets off. We have Moff Gideon. And don't forget, we've got that cloning facility from Season 2, where the Empire's up to something. Then we've got some pieces that aren't specifically on the Mandalorian board, which is Sabine Wren from Rebels, Ezra, and Thrawn. Those are also kind of interlinked in whatever is going to be happening here, but I think a lot of that is going to be introduced in Ahsoka, and I think all of this is going to come to a head with some type of, like, the Mandalorians. First the Mandalorians versus the Mandalorians, and then the Mandalorians versus the Empire and Thrawn and all this, like, big thing. I don't know how many seasons it takes to get there, but that's how it feels we're kind of building.
Yeah. What was it, season one that we went to? Was it Bryce Dallas Howard's first episode where we went to that land where Boba met the woman and the child? Mm-hmm. And when,
yeah.
Do we think
Mando,
that,
yeah.
Do we
yeah.
think, or Mando, sorry. Do we believe that they'll come back into play ever?
Yeah.
I think
because
so.
It felt like he had a connection with her.
Mm-hmm. I think about it often too. I'm like, there's such a weird thing where the sequel trilogy exists, you know, and like there's a finite amount of time between Mando right now and that, and it has to, I'm going to assume, set that up or intertwine or have some sort of impact that'll put a new light on the sequels.
Like maybe giving us like a Snoke thing or something?
I don't know, but I just think of it more specifically about
how the First Order. I think it's for me, that's what it is. I don't mean to interrupt
you. Oh, for sure.
It's a First Order thing. Like, yeah. How are we getting to the politics of The Force Awakens through all of this?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. To me, I just, my weird bold thing with my bold prediction with the overall story of Mandalorian, I think he's going to sacrifice himself to save Grogu. And I think that the cash cow that Grogu is, somehow he wasn't in the sequel trilogy for a reason and he's alive, and the next movies that involve Rey and Jedi and all this stuff, Grogu will just be in it somehow. They got to figure that out.
I think that's a cool, very cool idea. Yeah, I like the sort of like lone wolf and cubness of that all, mm-hmm. you know, the samurai. I mean, it's all rooted in sort of like samurai stories and in Westerns like that. So,
well, maybe he turns down Luke to be a Jedi now, but 20 years from now,
that's Rey, what I'm thinking,
you know, like Rey, because he's not going anywhere. He's not dying. And there has to be a reason for him not to be in the sequel trilogy.
Yeah. I mean, we got a lot of really exciting stuff to look forward to as Star Wars fans. Next week, we might be doing a little bit of Star Wars bonus for you. We'll let you guys be surprised when we post the episode. But, Nick, thank you for joining us this week, buddy. It was so great to talk to you.
I'm glad I made it work. I said no more track and bass. We don't need bass on these songs. I'm leaving.
You're like, no. If there's no bass on the new Bayside song, you can know it's because Nick wanted to come here and talk about, hey, Steve, play that. Actually, Steve, can you play that new track off the Bayside record? The one where they just say Boba Fett over and over and over again?
Hold on. Hold on. I got to go to Napster and re-download it real quick.
Nick, if the people want to find you online, if they want to support you, if they want to support Thank the Maker, where can they find you?
Easiest thing to do. I'm most active on Instagram and Twitter. Those are both at Nick Bayside. Please follow, please interact. And besides Thank the Maker, which is Star Wars podcast, I host the Radio Show, which is really just an hour of radio that I do a little bit of talking and play a lot of music. So I'm having a lot of fun doing that. People are digging it, and I'm super grateful for that. And it's kind of a little passion project that I just like doing. Introduce Amazing. New music, you know? Woo! People need that.
Cisco, where can the people find you online?
Same old place, Cisco Kid with 2D77 on Twitter.
Steve, where can the people find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at Rex Manning.
Don't support me. Check out the Radio Show. With that being said, we'll see you next time on BSR. Later.
Guys, I'm here at Pixar. I'm about to go in, start working on a collaboration project with Pixar. Just kidding, man. I don't play that soft little baby shit, man. That's Satan all day, that evil Satan stuff, heavy metal shit, man. I don't fuck around with that little baby shit.